you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
How are you feeling, boys and girls?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Welcome inside the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Me, Bogues, DA on paternity leave, taking care of little AJ. And we're having a grand old time in here on the mothership. Bogish. Good morning to you, hour number one, if you're just tuning in now for some of those listeners.
Right, or it's hour two or hour three. It could be even hour four. You never know. That's the beauty of this show.
I guess if you count it upwards right there.
Well, if you're counting this as hour number one, it also could be hour number two if you began listening at 8 a.m. Eastern time, or it could be hour number three if you started at 7, or if you began at the beginning, it's hour number four.
Good point. Good point. Well, either way, it's an hour number something for you,
right?
If you are involved. We've been doing a lot of Bob's Bar recap throughout the show. I've done plenty of NBA basketball. It's been a Trash Tuesday. Your Trash Tuesdays are all coming in at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish. Can we also say big ups real quickly on the Bob's Bar note? And maybe we've done too much this day, but I don't think you could do enough Bob's Bar in the end of June here. Clap it up for Steven Severna Park, who I think had the best threads of the day. He had a homemade DA Show jersey that had the date of the show, Bob's Bar 3, West Babylon, New York, in like a nice, I don't know what you would call it, goldish tan color. For me, best threads of the day go to Steven Severna Park, folks.
That's a very good call. And even good or bad, the effort, you know, to make, I mean, he didn't bring the trophy. That was Gloria Splat. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how to express my amazement, the gratitude, showing up, bringing gifts, creating your own merchandise. It's remarkable. You guys are the best.
Yes. Yes. You guys are unbelievable. And you know who isn't the best, folks?
Tell me, Sean.
The Boston Celtics.
It's fine. Whatever. Brad's not listening. It's cool.
But it was a segue.
Yeah, no, I know.
Segue. All right, so remember in the immediacy of the Celtics elimination...
Tomorrow we learn shapes.
Well, Pete's at the end of his rope. Pete, this is day one of 14 for DA and paternity. I think you need to calm down a little bit. You're going to get a lot more of this. Remember the days that followed the Boston Celtics elimination, how our immediate reaction was, this is probably it. And I have to give my friend over here, the man with the salt and pepper hair and the balding back with the Dover Blue Hens games, a little credit here, okay? Andrew Bogish said, look at that hug that Jason Tatum delivered to Jaylen Brown. Did you see the hug? I said, I didn't see the hug. Look at the hug. You mean to tell me that the star of this team going forward is Jason Tatum and he loves Jaylen Brown that much and he's going to not have any say in Jaylen Brown coming back? And I said, come on, Bogues. He's got to know that this thing isn't working. And Bogues said to me, did you see the hug?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. As the deck chairs get shuffled already in the NBA offseason, Chris Paul, get him out. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. He finds out on a flight. It turns out Isaiah Thomas probably calling the shots with the Suns. And Chris Paul's son told him he was done with the Suns, which I still think is unbelievable.
And called him Dada.
And called him Dada. The Blazers rumors. Do they trade the number three pick for Zion? Let's go. What happens around the NBA? The other big chess piece was, and there's obviously guys up in Toronto that could get moved. The guy who sounds like he's from Star Wars, OG Ananobi, right? You know.
Right? All right, I'll allow it.
Is that like a Star Wars character?
Sure, close enough.
Anyway.
Get that one.
Jaylen Brown was thought to be in the mix to be moved somewhere. And then, you know, yesterday, I'm in and out of the pool. Maybe I missed some sports stories. I get a topic list that says orange and blue blood, which is, you know, for those who want to know behind the scenes, we usually title our topic list something funny that happened from the day before. EJ just decided to title the topic list with his podcast name, which is truly fascinating. You could go download Orange and Blue Bloods anywhere podcasts are available and free on the Odyssey app as well as EJ Talks Knicks Basketball. You're welcome. And now we get this story. The Celtics don't intend to trade Jaylen Brown. Instead, they're expected to agree to a supermax, a 5-year, $295 million contract, which, by the way, NFL players are going to be kicking themselves. Jaylen Brown can get $295 million. Could you imagine? geez, I never want to hear anybody complain about the Daniel Jones contract again. And I have to ask, Bogues, right move, wrong move? If they go all in on Jaylen Brown, that means they're basically committing their money to the Tatum-Brown combination that, while still extremely young, keeps feeling like they just cannot punch that final ticket.
I think I said after they lost Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final, you and I were sitting here during paternity leave number one, I believe, or maybe just a regular, you know, DA off, that it was time to do something different in Boston. And I think it's time to do something different in Boston. That being said, Jaylen Brown's still good enough to be in the, you're not going to get Jaylen Brown back in a Jaylen Brown trade. So if they do get rid of him, they're going to miss Jaylen Brown at some point.
I would agree with that. However, he's also not good enough that you're now in the, you ain't getting anybody to take a $295 million contract in another year, you know, whatever tolls off of that, if now you're looking to blow it up either. They're kind of in no man's land with Jaylen Brown.
But, I mean, there's always going to be somebody, though. I mean, the Wizards just took back nothing to get Bradley Beal off their docket. Now, the Celtics don't want to give away Jaylen Brown, but I think there's always a trade out there to make. So I don't think this, like, precludes them from blowing it up. But it just feels like they need to do something different. Like, the coaches have been different, but those guys haven't for a while now, and they keep falling short. Like I said, tongue-in-cheek, the conversation that you guys were having about where they stood and how good things actually were, I thought those conversations were premature. Now I'm ready to have them about this Celtics team and this core and the franchise, that maybe it is time to have a really significant change to the dynamic there, because they can't finish the job. They can't get over the hump. They can't win the whole thing, or they fall short of the finals like they did this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to fall short of the finals. I think it's hard now officially to trust. The Celtics kind of in many ways are the Bills, right? Where we keep hearing about it. We know how great Josh Allen is. But if you enter this NFL season, is anybody betting money on the Bills finally to win a Super Bowl, or are we kind of over it?
No,
I think we're kind of over it with the Celtics.
Sure. I mean, they now live like the Sixers in a place of, you got to show me. Like, I'm no longer, you're not any longer, I'm getting, pay the meter, you're not blindly getting my support. Now you need to change my mind back onto your side. But, I mean, they're still going to be darn good. And for whatever Brad Stevens wasn't as a head coach, and he made some mistakes as a GM, he also made a lot of good moves to finish that roster around those guys. So you'd have to think he's going to make more smart moves to fix whatever he thinks needs to be fixed right now. And it's still the East. I mean, there's only so many choices in the East of who can win it. It's not the West. So that plays in their favor here as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's true as well. I wonder if, and I'm curious, if anyone wants to tweet at Mraz, CBS at Andrew Bogus, 855-212-4227. So again, it's 855-212-4CBS. And maybe Cap can answer this too. Are Celtic fans happy about this? That's honestly a question. I don't know. I haven't talked to enough Celtic. Do Celtic fans want Jaylen Brown back at a Supermax and are comfortable with this duo and confident they're going to win a title? And I hate to put this, you know, in perspective, because we've had five different champions in 5 years here, Bogues. But doesn't it kind of feel like the Tatum-Brown tandem that we started with a few years ago, didn't it feel like that's one that should have won more than one title? Like, are we just setting out for the hopes they finally break through and win one with this group?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've been to one or two finals.
One final.
One final. One win is still a lot. I mean, yes, the way they were setting up, and I think the way the East has set up too, and getting LeBron out of the East has opened the door for more things here. So yeah, I mean, like that's what I was saying a second ago. Like, now you guys early called the disappointment. Now I'm calling it a disappointment. There should be more from this collection of coaches and players than there has been so far. But again, the flip side of that is 2/3 of the league would happily trade their predicament for where the Celtics find themselves right now. So they're still way ahead of the game.
You use that a lot, Bo.
But it's the truth. It's the truth.
But there is a different standard for Celtic basketball.
Yes, right. So they're the victims of their own success. There's no doubt about it.
Sure, as a franchise, for sure they are.
And they still are there at the end. I mean, they still were the last four teams standing this year. And they were the favorites in the Eastern Conference Final. They should have been in the final. And then they could have lost to a better Nuggets team. And that would have been a different conversation. But we know what they did against the Heat, and that opens them up to all of these conversations, and they're all valid. But going back to the initial part here, it makes sense to me to try something new. But they're going to stick with what they know, and they may end up being right. Because every person we talked to, Sean, sitting here, we asked some version of this question, and nobody, I don't remember anybody saying they should break these two guys up. In fact, a lot of guys dismissed the question almost immediately because that's how much they, how good they think Brown and Tatum are together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but either way, I know one thing, especially, by the way, if the Heat get Lillard, I am not putting any chips down on the Celtics next year. They have all the NBA on TNT games. They won all regular season. I'm done trusting the Boston Celtics. Tweets, Bogues. Aaron tweets in, GM.
Sound it out.
GM fellas.
Good morning. I mean, that means good morning, fellas, in Twitter shorthand.
That's terrible. You can't do that to a sports show. I'm thinking general manager. GM now is good morning. We can't write good morning. And why did you, Pete?
Because you're stupid.
Welcome to 2023.
That's why I did that.
That should be the name of your next podcast or the alternate name of the Tucson show, because you're stupid.
Because you're stupid. Okay, well, GM fellas, I'm trashing the sick.
Right. Does that mean general manager fellas? Really?
There's a lot. Now, there's a lot in this tweet because fellas is an unnecessary apostrophe.
Yeah.
And there's another big misspell coming up that's probably going to trip Sean up too, so
okay,
sit tight.
But that doesn't mean general manager fellas.
All right, general manager fellas. I'm trashing the sick big I got yesterday that kept me in bed 24 hours. Bug. I think he means bug.
Yep.
24 hours. I wake up and somehow the at Reds are in first place. WTH has trash Tuesday. I'm going to say that means what the heck.
Yeah. What okay. The hell even.
Aaron, let's do a better job on spelling next time, big guy, if you want that tweet read. The gentleman's mop tweets in, I always hear you guys say that you're online when waiting somewhere. As someone from Michigan, I've never, ever heard that. I've always heard people say they're in line. Is that a New York or East Coast phrase? I rarely have heard people say in line, so perhaps it's just one of those things, generally speaking. I guess I've heard I'm in line somewhere, but it's always online to me. I don't know.
Yeah, this is
you're standing on a line.
Right. This is in the family of, like, have a catch or play catch. I think there's, like, pockets of the country that say it differently. I think I'm play mostly catch. An online guy.
Play catch is weird. Tommy Topspin tweets in, happy Trash Tuesday. I'm trashing a relative that canceled the graduation party on Saturday. It didn't rain, by the way. Only rescheduled for Father's Day. F you very much. It's my day. Hashtag wasted Father's Day. Ooh, I like this one. We had family on Sunday that were throwing a kid's first birthday or something or second birthday party on Sunday. Well, I love them very much. I was not going to attend. There are certain days on the calendar. You can't ask people on a Father's Day or a Mother's Day to attend people's birthday parties.
I mean, you really can't do that. There's almost no defending it. Like, I've pushed back on your don't have a fall wedding because of football. But, like, you don't...
At least a fall Sunday wedding. Or if you're in college football territory, no Saturday.
But, like, you can't have a non-Father's Day event on Father's Day. You just can't.
Yeah, somebody that Bridget knows had to go to a wedding on Father's Day, this Father's Day.
That's a cheap.
Well, so, I mean, I think that's part of my wedding defense is maybe the date matters and certainly the price might matter on a Sunday. We got married on a Friday night because it was cheaper to get married on a Friday night.
Friday night too,
so, like,
right.
Those things matter. And I also think religion might play into a certain Sunday ceremonies too. So I'm aware of that. But, like, that's still a tough sell. It's still Father's Day.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, man. If you told me that we've already done this on Mother's Day, Shaw Washbold. I can't go through Mother's Day, the moms take bows left and right, then Father's Day, just, by the way, we got to huff it to a kid's birthday party or a graduation party.
You still snuck in the tiniest little shot at Mother's Day once again.
Right.
Mom's taking bows all day, and I'm out here cutting lawn.
What are you talking about? Either way, just saying, we go through it, we got to be good to go. That boy Zoe tweets in. I'm trashing Joey Votto because as a Cubs fan, screw Joey Votto. So that's.
Amen.
Pete couldn't wait for that. Kristen in Buffalo. My husband and his family are from New York City area, so rainbow cookies were a special request we had for the wedding. I even bought him the Taste the Rainbow Cookie shirt Pat Boyle was wearing a few weeks ago as a gift. Best dessert ever. Wow. Mariano also wanted to clarify dirty socks. Huge difference. Did I not? What did I say?
I thought you said dirty socks.
I thought I said so, too. I hope I didn't say anything wrong. Sorry, Mariana. I'm not going to read. Skipper Tim, no, I see your tweet, but I am not going to read it because that'll get me in trouble. And I'm sorry. There's a lot now that I suddenly can't read. Oh, Dalton also want to let me know that Pappy is dad in Spanish. So that's okay.
Yeah, well, Poppy, right? You'd say that like
yes,
Big Poppy?
Exactly. Poppy, yeah. Big Poppy, baby. Big Poppy. Okay, and for that, oh, and here was Dixie Landon. This is the one I was looking for. I'm trashing Father's Day. We are a real cluster here. I'm trashing Father's Day. It turned into a chore day when I just wanted to relax. I got woken up at 6 a.m., had to fix the washing machine, cook breakfast, and drive 2 hours to my in-laws to see some family my wife hadn't seen in a while that didn't even show up.
Oh.
Hashtag trash them.
I mean.
That's rough.
Did that's they fake a- their death?
That is a brutal Father's Day for Dixieland Dan. Dixieland Dan's a good dad. He deserves something. But then again, every day that Dixieland Dan sends me a picture looks like Father's Day. He's just like shooting guns at PBR cans, packing lip.
Does he have any responsibilities?
Eating gator tails off a ping pong table.
Crawfish boils.
Exactly. So Pat boils the whole deal. All right, we come back. We want to get into more of Bo's Father's Day. He's going to bring up a scenario, and we're going to play good move, bad move, as everything's just become good, bad here. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's delicious. It's soft. It melts in your mouth. You could have it in a cone like a hand food. You could hold it in a cup. You put candy on it. You put cookies on it. There's fudge. There's butterscotch. There's caramel. There's peanut butter. There's marshmallow. Everything that you love can be put into ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Everything you love can be put into ice cream. Yes, it can. I had one of those prepackaged cones last night out of the freezer. Somebody left them at my house for Father's Day. So girls wanted ice cream. All right, daddy will break open the cones. It was like a strawberry cheesecake flavor. I'm not going to give away the brand, but I got to be honest with you. Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good for not making a fresh ice cream cone. Where do you stay? You okay on a prepackaged cone there, folks?
Yeah, it can get... There's a fine line with the cone integrity in these situations, and that's like the thing that jumps out at me. So...
Cone integrity.
Yeah, like it can get too. I want it to be crisp, and it's hard to stay on the crisper side when you're sitting in a freezer, and
Fair. You
know it's obviously not built for freshness. But there are good stand-ins, but the actual cone is always going to be better.
Yeah, for sure. I love a good cone. Lick me lip a good cone.
What's the main one called? A king cone?
Ooh.
Like the one from like the Good Humor vending machine.
I think
machine.
It's called a King Cone.
Right?
I think. But that has nuts on it. See?
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm not big on the nuts on the ice cream. Other than trail mix, I don't like nuts in my mouth at all on any of this stuff. The toppings, the ice cream, all of that stuff. Brownies. Keep the nuts away. So, there we have it. Bogues, you were mentioning something interesting happened to you on Sunday.
So, I'm at the Met game, as we already discussed. And we're sitting the first row of seats behind the right field fence. And at Citi Field, that puts you basically right above the Mets' bullpen or right adjacent to it. So pregame, the Mets starting pitcher, Carlos Carrasco, and their catcher, Francisco Alvarez, are having a pregame throwing session in right field right below our seats. And as they finish, everyone starts standing up and yelling for balls because they both are looking up to throw somewhere. And for instance, so my Jake's next to me, forgot to bring his glove even though we're sitting so close. And we got our hands up. He's yelling Francisco's name and kind of looking at us. Alvarez winds up and throws a pretty legitimate BB into the stands. And I'm sitting there going, my first thought is like self-preservation because it had some heat, but it was probably three seats to our right and two rows deeper. But as it's whizzing by me, I'm like, good God, I couldn't have caught that. And I hear a slap of leather. So he threw the ball perfectly at this adult male behind us, and this guy made it, caught it, leaned over, and gave it right to Jake.
Oh.
And, like, the whole section applauded. Like, Alvarez, like, gave him a little nod. I guess he was throwing it to him, assuming the guy would give it to one of the kids around him, right? So then I made Jake say thank you. I gave the guy a little fist bump, and I'm sitting there going, I probably need to do something more than that, right? So I'm like doing a little recon, looking over my shoulder. I see what he's drinking. next half, the you know, inning and a half into the game, next time somebody needed something, I go upstairs and I get him a drink. I bring it back. Thanks again. Here you go. And then I could, like, was that too much or not? No. Like, that was the right thing to do, right?
It's the right thing to do.
That's absolutely the right thing to do. You know what I appreciated about that, Bogues? You did the recon, which I was not aware in your original story. You kind of got an idea of what he was drinking, I think, which was a really cool idea. Beers aren't cheap and anything. He could have been a jerk. Let's be honest. Who's the guy? Max Huffenagel? What's the guy that always takes
Zach Campbell. Zach Campbell.
Zach Campbell.
Peter Schwartz.
Right. He could have been Zach Campbell that takes all the balls. Or he could have been the Schwartz kids at the Atlantic League games that gobble up 30 balls. But this guy took a ball, turned around. Now, granted, I do think there's a little bit of a difference here. I think that him catching a ball from Francisco Alvarez launched up there, he should absolutely hand it. I believe if this was some kind of foul ball or home run ball or something like that, he did not. He should not have handed it to you, in which case you probably owed him more than the beer.
Yeah, that's a good call. And we also thought, too, like, because we could still, after every half inning, the right fielder, Starling Marte, is throwing balls into the seats, balls, yeah. Batted balls could get to us. And my daughter's with me, so I'm thinking if another one somehow lands here, does she get it? Do we need to share the wealth with a different family? Like, there's so many ball ball rules going on now.
Yeah, and there was that incident in Boston over the weekend where this guy caught a ball, handed it to a kid who had another brother, and did you see this video? Immediately threw it back on the field.
Yeah.
And the brother was hysterically crying, in which case it came to my attention. It does almost feel like you're better off in that spot if you're going to give it to a kid, noticing that it's a kid by himself with said parent or whoever and not with another kid. Because that does create strife for the father.
And we saw that firsthand. Again, they're just tossing balls in the stands left and right. And a dad caught one and gave it to, like, his six-year-old son. And the four-year-old one immediately crumbled into tears. Where's mine? I want one. Had to, like, pick him up and carry him out of the seats to calm him down.
I deal with that with my kids with packages of fruit snacks. I can only imagine baseballs and baseball games.
Dude, I still do it now. My kids are 12 and 9, and I'm like, it doesn't matter what Abby had. That doesn't guarantee you get the same thing now. Like, some days she goes somewhere and gets Mr. Softy. Doesn't mean we have to go find you ice cream now, too. Leave me alone.
Now, was Abby good about not having the other baseball? She was okay?
She couldn't have cared less. Now, had we gotten another one and I gave that one away, she probably would have been pissed. But she was cool with Jake getting the first one.
And now Jake, again, not that he already wasn't a fan for life, but I'm sure he'll always have that moment. He'll always remember it. Now, did your kids notice you buying the beer for the gentleman?
Because when I came back, I gave it to him and... Like, whoever he was with, actually, it connects to our previous attendance story. It was him and probably, like, seven other guys. It must have been dads and cousins and brothers. It was, like, half a row all in one group. Now, at a certain point, they were talking so much and, like, yelling at the field so much, I didn't want them to sit by us anymore. But up until then, it was super cool. And when I brought the drink back to the guy, they were all like, oh, man, that's super cool. What, like, so, like, we were going back and forth. So the kids saw me do it. And, like, I was sitting there wondering, I first asked my wife, should I get it? Yeah, that's a good idea. She suggested waiting for, like, the vendor to come by. But those guys now are so spread thin because nobody stays in their seat for stuff anymore. So, like, I wasn't going to wait for him, for somebody to show up with a cooler on their shoulder. So when I got up, they knew where I was going. And then when I came back, they saw what I did.
That's cool, because that's important. Your kids need to see somebody takes care of you, do something nice. The old scratch your back.
I scratch you.
I love a good back scratch.
I know.
EJ, you love a good back scratch?
Love it.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good
back
scratch?
Got my dad a back scratcher for Father's Day when I was in third grade.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of his favorite Father's Day gifts. He had it for like 10 years, and it was wooden, but it broke.
You guys still get your back scratched by your significant others? Or is that those times long dead for you?
I do.
Wow, Pete, you get a nice, Cheryl gets a clause in
there? Sure. I mean, I don't make it an everyday occurrence, but if it's really like one of those hard to reach places, I'll ask.
So a quick itch. You don't get like a full sitting on the couch.
I use a nice sharp edge of a wall sometimes. Like here at the station, they have like... The pillars in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of them that come together. They're really, really fine. That's an excellent back scratcher.
Okay, but that's like a quick... I'm talking about you want to sit down, relax, and you're getting like fingers rubbed through your back.
No, No.
Those days are long done.
Long gone.
I miss them, man. I miss them. Bo, it's funny. Are you still getting a good back scratch?
I don't think I've ever gotten one in my life.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
How about
need...
a scalp scratch? You ever lay down and your wife slept, she rubs your head?
Not for... Not... by request or for a prolonged time. No, like not. Wow. What am I missing out on?
It's like
here?
We're entering Bob Kraft territory.
Yeah.
Here.
I don't know. I thought that, you know, I don't get those anymore. But back in the
day,
do
I pay extra for that? Do I have to whisper by request?
EJ,
how does that
you
work?
You get some fingers rubbed through your hair laying there watching Wheel of Fortune?
No, it's funny. Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, that's what I'm watching on a random Thursday night. It's funny. I scratch my girlfriend's back, but I don't think I've ever asked her to scratch my back.
Well, that's the thing. Should you have to ask or should it be reciprocated? You know what? Tonight, I'm taking care of you. You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
There you
that's
go.
Where the saying comes from.
Yeah.
Pete, you still getting a good back scratch?
I don't need a scratch back.
Yeah. I'm a man.
Waiting for
man.
Joey Votto.
Right.
My wife actually likes when I crack her back because she's a lady.
Mine too?
Yeah.
Daniel's like, lay on the back and just crank both hands up my back, and then you hear it crack like something broke.
No, yeah. There are sometimes we do the old school, like, back-to-back hook arms, and I'll bend over with
are
her, like,
serious?
On my back. Yeah, or, like bear hug her and pick her up. She, like, and she thinks it's the best thing ever.
The boguses get freaky.
Look out.
They get real freaky.
It's amazing we only have two kids.
Speaking of freaky, here comes Peter Schwartz, who uses the edge of the work pillar.
Yeah. We'll get Kaplan to shoot some video after the update. How about that? Let's start in Cincinnati.
Joey Votto!
Yeah, Joey Votto returned with a bang.
Wait.
You said wait.
I was going to say, outside of football season the last 2 years, I don't think updates have every hour have started with let's start in Cincinnati more often than they do today.
Well, you like to switch things around a little bit, but I think just because of the tenor of the conversation this morning, I think
it's one
we
of
have
more historical players of an era.
There right? You go.
Bash to right. His first game back. Joseph Daniel Votto. He said he was ready, and he delivers.
Just like the pizza guy, the call on Reds TV, Bally Sports. The Reds beat the Rockies 5-4. For their ninth straight win, future Hall of Famer Joey Votto homering drove in three in his return 10 months after surgery on his left biceps and rotator cuff.
This is a different energy. This is a different energy than I've experienced in years, maybe in my entire career. The way these guys think about themselves, how hard they play, I want to be a part of this. We are all a part of this, and it just feels so good. It's exactly what we deserve here in Cincinnati.
Pete, the back end of that cut, he kind of sounds a little like CM Punk, doesn't he?
That's a who?
Huh?
Who does it sound like CM Punk?
Joey Votto sounds like that. It sounded a little bit like a CM Punk promo there.
Not
a little
to me.
Bit. No?
There's something right about this show today that I have extra love. I think it's Pete's annoyance the whole time. Schwartz has been on fire. I mean, EJ's not watching Wheel of Fortune. This show's had a little bit of everything.
Now to San Francisco, where the Giants and Padres were tied at 4 in the 10th.
Here's the 3-1 on the way. Yes, blast one! Deep right field! It is gone! Into the water! A walk-off splash hit, Mike Yastrzemski!
The call on Giants radio. Giants over the Padres 7-4 in 10. The Marlins beat the Blue Jays 11-0. Luis Arraez went 5-for-5 for the third time this month, raises his average to .400. Now in Houston, we had all kinds of stuff going on there. We had the camera operator thinking he was watching some NASA projects going on every time there was a ball hit in the air. But in any event, the Mets' offense exploded.
Here's the 2-1. Swinging a high fly ball, hit deep right field. Tucker going back to the track. Tucker at the wall. He looks up. This one is out of here. Lindor, 3-run home run. 4 rows back in right field. How about a 5-spot for the New York Mets?
How about that? Keith Radd on Mets Radio. Mets over the Astros 11-1. Max Scherzer, an outstanding night. A run and 4 hits, struck out 8-for-8. Francisco Lindor with a homer and 5 RBI. You also had the Rangers beating the White Sox 5-2. Red Sox over the Twins 9-3. Diamondbacks 9. Brewers 1. Cubs beat the Pirates 9-0. And the Tigers over the Royals 6-4. Basketball, Chris Paul told the New York Times he was surprised about the reported trade. Now we'll send him from the Suns to the Wizards. Also shared those thoughts yesterday on ABC's Good Morning America when Michael Strahan said he, too, was surprised by the trade.
I was surprised, too. I found out on the plane yesterday flying here for this. You know, in this league, anything can happen, so you just figure out what's next.
And Paul said he found out about the trade in a text from his son, and he believes that former Pistons star Isaiah Thomas was involved in the decision. He's good friends with new Suns owner Matt Ishbia.
And for those wondering, like the Good Morning, not Good Morning Football, Good Morning America spot, and when he's about flying in, sometime, and Chris Ball just released a book, so he's literally on a book tour to start the NBA offseason the moment he's getting shopped around, which is just unreal. But I give him credit, because once upon a time, Case Keenum wrote a book off his big year, and the moment things went south in Denver, he was scheduled to do a bunch of appearances on the bye week, and those all got canceled, and he stopped his book tour.
I'm looking forward to the Joey Votto book tour.
Oh, I can't wait to read that book, meet
One
Joey.
City.
Do you know what it's going to be called, Pete?
Oh, no.
I can't say Votto. It on the air.
The sweet stroke of Joey Votto.
Yeah, he can Hanks me later for that title.
Yeah. Do you think he could scratch your back?
He can, but I don't want any tomfoolery.
Yeah. Warriors veteran Draymond Green has reportedly declined his $27.5 million player option for the 23-24 season. He'll be an unrestricted
free agent. For those who don't know, A Man Named Otto is a movie that came out recently with Tom Hanks.
Otto's is also a good seafood restaurant, Miracle Mile in Freeport.
It is. By the way, EJ just shook his head in complete disgust on my explanation. He's had it. EJ has had it today.
Not only
you
EJ.
You got to explain the joke. I mean, come on.
It means it's a bad one. Thank you, EJ.
Well, we know who hired EJ or who at least is taking credit for it. I'll tell you that.
I didn't hire EJ.
Really?
No.
Wow. EJ, just so you know, usually the good employees, Pete likes jumping up to the front of the line to say they were his.
Well, Pete's an honest man.
No, he's not.
I didn't hire
him.
Have
EJ. You ever seen him put food on a scale at a buffet? He's not an honest
who
man.
Who hired Jack Stern?
Not me.
Not Pete. So this begs the question, who did Pete hire? It's not the good and EJ. It's not the bad and Jack.
I got to go through it. I don't even remember anymore.
They're all gone. They quit after a week because Pete sold them a bill of goods.
Oh, found a good job.
Let's not forget that 2 weeks ago when the intern started, Pete wasn't here. And all Sean and I did was say, wait till you meet Pete. You'll never understand. And then last Monday was the eye day when she actually did meet Pete.
And where was she yesterday? Did she not come in because of Pete's eye?
She's studying abroad for a couple weeks.
Had to leave the country. After.
Excuse me.
She's in quarantine from Pete's
I like her
double
a lot,
pink eye.
That's wild. She got hired as an intern and then went abroad? That's pretty good eating for her.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Take your credits elsewhere.
At least she didn't go back with pink eye. 855-212. What else we got, Schwartz?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Great.
Really, really slow day so far.
It is a slow day.
And that's what's happening.
All right, we come back. Advanced Analytics, you're failing. Your last Trash Tuesday tweets of the day. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, all right, all right. The DA Show had a very fascinating start to the show, or at least in the first hour of the show. Pete the Body coined the count. One of the great follows on Twitter, and actually trashed anybody who does not follow the count on Twitter. Isn't that something, Susan? Isn't that amazing? Well, anyway, so we asked our audience flat out, do you follow the count on Twitter at Count Von Count? 78% of our audience said no. Only 22% said yes. Pete can't be happy about that. Our analytics team tells us the count's full name is Count Von Count. And has an uncle named Uncle Uno. Well, it's got to be confusing to have your first and last name be similar. In any Sesame Street PR, the Count is never referred to as a vampire, Bogues. The Count has had multiple girlfriends since his Sesame Street debut.
Yeah, he has.
So perhaps some relationship issues there. Timmy Bilotti's favorite Sesame Street characters are Elmo and Cookie Monster, while his dad enjoys Big Bird and Telly's work. Of course. He enjoys the acting and the work they put into it, Telly.
Great acting.
Great acting. Oh, boy. That is your advanced analytics for the day. Couple tweets still trickling in. And this one I think is a really important one, Bogues. A really important one. One that hadn't even dawned on me. Big Lara tweets in, I'm trashing that we get to wait 2 weeks and then hear the last three or four shows on DA's movie quest. Hashtag get it out. Hashtag number one.
Oh, that's
Forrest Gump.
Right.
We forgot to finish DA's bit before this paternity.
Whoops.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
We forgot to finish the bit. That's a problem. Maybe we get DA up tomorrow for his birthday.
It's not it's not the first time we didn't pay off a tease. But
for
this
sure,
is doozy.
But that's a big tease because it's a bit.
Right.
It's a bit, and that doesn't help. You need and a bit that DA's wife thought stunk. But still, you have to finish it out. You can't just pull the plug on a series, in my opinion. Fully Ohio tweets, and I'm trashing my wife and her car salesman, where's this going, who are both texting me to tell me that 720 a month.
Did we just lose Sean at the last minute? Well, that sounds good. I even forgot what he was reading. And I don't have the analytics. If you guys want to send me anything that I need to read here, that'd be
lost
great.
Me?
Oh, there you are. Welcome back. Are you there?
What happened?
You disappeared for a second.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you?
We lost you for a second.
I'm
you're back
here?
On the
I'm
air.
Good?
Yes.
All right. I said, did you hear my Fully Ohio trash?
No.
All right. I'm trashing my wife and her car salesman who are both texting me to tell me that $720 a month for a Telluride is a great deal. When the heck did it cost $720 a month to become a deal? Maybe I'm an old man yelling at clouds, but come on, man.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
I just
All
went
right,
down this
here's
road.
Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Joey Votto, a true legend. I think people don't realize outside of Cincinnati how important he is to that franchise.
Acknowledge your tribal chief.
This is cool. Last night, the only person shocking that didn't seem to like it was Pipilotti.
That's right.
The entire time Votto was talking in my ears, like, yeah, Joey, thanks for all the World Series. Really appreciate all of those.
Well, that's you, because you never won anything.
Pete yesterday off air is talking about how the Mets need to retire David Wright's number 5. Joey Votto's a better baseball player than David Wright all the time.
Okay, fine. You make that argument, but let's not make him out to be a god. I mean,
there's not a lot of gods in Cincinnati since the Big Red Machine and Barry Larkin after that. That's it.
Maybe there's a problem then.
Because that's a great question.
I just don't like him.
You stink!
I'm just tired of hearing about Joey Votto. I mean,
you hear about Joey Votto often?
Every time with the Reds, it's like, oh, what a legend. I mean, it's Joey Votto.
Who cares?
They didn't do anything in there.
And I'm going to love telling him he's a loser. He's a loser. He's a loser. Yeah.
Jeez, guys, so now we're just judging singular players. So Ohtani stinks then, guys, because you all fought me about Ohtani last year when he said his team's never contended.
Ohtani's very different.
Oh, okay.
He can pitch, too.
Yeah, I get it.
When did Votto pitch?
All right.
We're in a sport where you could be awesome and your team six. Joey Votto, hate to break it, probably a Hall of Fame.
You want to talk about a playmaker? That's a playmaker.
What? I think you're an idiot.
I'm still laughing at Schwartz's update basically being a recap of the previous 35 minutes of the show. The only thing he didn't play again was the Shep clip, but he played again Joey Votto.
And by the way, Carlos with a cage should be noted for me didn't know, showed up from the job to come with a velour-style Bulls hat. So he made quite the impression, too. Speaking of K, the word Knox starts with K in Hard Knocks, the show.
It's not funny.
Get me, Schwartz.
What?
It's all right, the count.
Fun!
1, 2, 2 seconds, 3, 4, 5,
what are you doing?
6.
1K.
How many Ks are in Knox, Sean?
2.
Okay.
Yes.
What was that?
Thunder and lightning. It always does that when I count.
2 is the magic number.
Well, the day's taking a turn for Pete. He hates Joey Votto, but he loves count jokes.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, boy. One more trash that really annoys me. Moist Pork. Good morning, at Morata CBS. I'm going to trash the traffic in New York. Why would anyone in their right mind want to live like this? It took me 6 flipping hours to get back to Baltimore for all those trying to count. That's an extra 2 hours. Not acceptable. Hashtag beep beep. You know, Pat Boyle tweeted about this, too, with Long Island traffic. I hate to break it to people, but when I go to my supermarket or do anything at night or, you know, have a good time, I never hit traffic in my area. The traffic is always into and out of New York City as you get closer to New York City. I hate when people trash Long Island for this. Sure, there are moments where you have some stop and go. But for the most part, you hit traffic on any of those main roads that we don't normally take when you're around New York City. It's not a Long Island problem. It's a New York City problem, folks.
And one of the worst places to drive through in this country is like the D.C., Mid-Atlantic, Baltimore region. So.
Right.
Like, everybody's got their own pain. Traffic does suck here. Boyle's ride home to Jersey on Friday was terrible, but he should know better to not drive from Long Island to New Jersey right. on a summer Friday.
But I don't think, and I have the same problem leaving Giants or Jets games or concerts over there. It's not a Jersey thing or a Long Island thing. It's New York City has 5 million people around.
There's too many of us, absolutely.
Right. It's in and out of around the city because there's only so many roads that can get you in and out of that area specifically. But it's not as if I, you know, how do you live like this? I live like what? Because I go to the city every night for cocktail? What are you talking about? I live my life just fine with absolutely no traffic on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, but,
I do not understand that.
But there are dummies that get in traffic in the morning driving to work and then driving out. But that's their fault. They're making a
right.
terrible decision to drive back and forth to Manhattan.
Yeah, so Moist, I am sorry that your pork got dry. I am sorry it took you 6 hours to get home.
But I nailed it, by the way. He and I had this conversation of when he should leave, and I said it's probably going to take you 6 hours, and it took him 6 hours. So I'm better than EJ's weatherman, apparently, predicting the future.
What do you think the six-hour car ride, what do you think their favorite story was? Moist and Shlomo riding shotgun, sitting there 6 hours to Baltimore. You think they ranked the show?
Well,
this is my favorite moment, Shlomo. What was your favorite moment, Moist?
Yes, 100%. And I wish I would have said this before them because maybe I would have gotten higher up their lists. And even though I tell my kids which one is my favorite, I don't have a favorite. And I feel like picking between listeners is difficult too. But I probably was most excited to meet Moist Pork on Friday. That might have been the personal one-on-one highlight for me.
I have to say there was palpable buzz about Moist Pork.
Yes.
He walked in. He was so super nice, like so super friendly. You know what Moist didn't do, which was great? He didn't come up to all of us multiple times telling us the same story. So right off the bat, I can tell you Moist was great.
Did anyone else expect him to be taller? Because I, for whatever reason, I was not startled, but I expected a bigger man.
Well, what I also liked was that you could show how many times, how like when we accumulate new listeners that aren't aware of origin stories, Gordon in Vancouver did mention to me, I didn't expect Moist Pork to be of Jewish faith because his name is Moist Pork.
Oh, Gordon.
And I had to explain, Gordon, that's not it. You're missing the bit here. His name is Moshe Blotnick, and I couldn't say it. So I said, he's like, it didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, you have not been listening long enough that
right.
you don't get that bit.
And good thing he didn't say that to DA because I heard DA explaining this to Katie Linendahl, and DA still butchered Moist's actual name.
Wait a minute. Katie Linendahl asked about Moist Pork?
I believe that's
Moist,
who
Moist, you're in.
I believe that's who he was explaining him to, and he did not handle Moisha or Plotnick correctly.
By the way, did anybody walk away feeling like Moist Pork was that unbelievably dressed either for somebody who's always criticized people's
wardrobe?
I didn't
want to say it, but that's fair too.
I mean, he was fine.
Right.
I don't think anybody went left there going, can you believe Moist Pork's threads? How unbelievably dressed is this man?
Right. I was expecting 6'1 and like Miami Vice, and that's not what we got.
He looks exactly how I thought he'd look.
Is that a good thing or
no,
a bad
thing? I just had a picture in my head, and that's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, did he look better than me in dirty underwear and a Kenyon Martin jersey?
Yes.
Sure. And now Cap is showing the video now. I mean, yeah, Moist looked like a weird album cover from 1993 is what his shirt looked like. All right, that's going to wrap it up. What a show. Tomorrow we celebrate DA's birthday without him, maybe with some Moist cake. We'll see. Thank you to EJ Stewart, your executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body, the Wheels of Steel maestro. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan on Watch DA. And, of course, Peter Schwartz and your back-scratching headlines. Thanks, Bogues. I love you, buddy.
Bye, Shawnee. See you tomorrow.
Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.